ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। Buenos era. Okay, so I am Hare Krishna. So this is the first time I am addressing specifically devotees in Italy anywhere. So it is a great pleasure to be with all of you. And thank you, Treya Prabhu, for inviting me to come here and get your association, Mataji's association, and also the association of all the wonderful devotees here. So the topic is very important, spiritual community. Italy, and the whole world, of course, has been through a very, very difficult time. It's still going through one. And Italy in particular has had its rough time. And I hope that you're all keeping well and safe. Although devotees are not able to visit temples and attend normal programs, and we can't have festivals like we used to, but nevertheless, this internet has opened up avenues for association and hearing and chanting, which, you know, weren't used so much earlier. So is this speed okay for the translation into Italian? It's fine? Okay. So therefore I also hope that you are utilizing this opportunity for making advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, with regard to the topic spiritual community, I want to recite a certain verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you have the Srimad Bhagavatam available with you, either the physical book or the e-version of it on your phone or your laptop, you may open it up. It's from the 10th canto. 41st chapter. The chapter is titled Krishna and Balaram Enter Mathura. And the text number is 51. So 10, 41, 51. So I will read the verse myself because responsive chanting is difficult on the internet like this. You may follow it in your own books or on your laptops. Sopivavrechalam bhaktim tasmin eva khilatmani tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam bhuteshu cha dayam param. Translation. Sudama chose unshakable devotion for Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence. Friendship with his devotees. And transcendental compassion for all living beings. So, just 2 minutes of a background for this verse. Krishna has left Vrindavan. At least on the manifest platform. On the unmanifest platform, he is always present in Vrindavan. Akrura comes to take Krishna away from Vrindavan to bring him to Mathura at the behest of Kamsa. After he has brought Krishna to Mathura, Akrura goes to his home and Krishna goes sightseeing in Vrindavan. So he moves around like a tourist would. He came not just on a tourist visa, but he came on a sports visa because there was a sports competition being organized by Kamsa. Because Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna, and on that pretext he had organized wrestling competitions and various other programs. Of course, Krishna and Balaram may have come on sports visas, but they stayed on and got permanent residency and citizenship, and eventually they became part of the royal family. Of course, this is not how Shukadev Goswami. Yeah, of course, this is not how Shukadev Goswami describes it, but I may be permitted some creative license. So, anyway, as he was wandering around, he came across a washerman who was Kamsa's washerman. He used to wash Kamsa's clothes. He was carrying the king's clothes, and Krishna and Balaram asked him for those clothes. Give us these royal clothes, we want to wear them. So the washerman became enraged and refused to give the clothes to Krishna and Balaram, and he actually threatened them. So then Krishna did something that our kung fu enthusiasts would have liked to see. Just with his fingertips, he cut off the head of the washerman. You may call it a karate chop or whatever you may. Of course, he delivered the washerman. And then he came across a weaver. The weaver offered him all kinds of service, and Krishna gave him heartfelt benedictions. And then he came across a garland maker whose name was Sudama. So there are three Sudamas who are famous in Krishna Leela. One is the cowherd boy Sudama in Vrindavan. The second is Krishna's childhood friend, the Brahmana Sudama, who studied with him in Avanti in the Gurukul. And it was this Sudama who went at the behest of his wife to visit Krishna in Dwarka. But the Sudama that I'm speaking about now in Mathura is a third Sudama. So he was a garland maker, and he offered Krishna and Balaram nice flowers and cosmetics, and he welcomed them very nicely with great devotion. And because of his very sincere and devoted service, Krishna was very happy with him and asked him, Sudama, tell me, what benedictions do you want? And the verse that I just read out, 10, 41, 51, was Sudama's reply. Not Vipra. Yeah, the garland maker Sudama. garland maker Sudama of Mathura. Yeah. So Sudama asked Krishna for three benedictions. The first was Achalam Bhaktim, which means unshakable devotion to him, to Krishna. The second was Tat Bhakteshu Cha Sauhardam, which means he asked for a spirit of great friendship with Krishna's devotees. And the third, he asked for Bhuteshu Cha Dayam Param, which means transcendental compassion for all living beings. Okay, so now, perhaps after hearing this little introduction in the talk, you may wonder, the topic of the lecture is spiritual community, then why are we hearing about this particular pastime now? And the answer is that the three things that Sudama the garland maker asked Krishna for are also the only three things we should be asking Krishna for. Or at least the three main things we should be asking Krishna for. And actually, these are the three things that will form the pillars of any Krishna conscious or spiritual community. So if you don't have these three, if you don't have even one of these three, you cannot have a complete happy spiritual community. And so what is a special feature here that a spiritual community has to have Krishna in the center? After all, that is what distinguishes a spiritual community or a Krishna conscious community from any other ordinary community in the world. There are innumerable communities worldwide, but most of them are based on some material principle. But since we want to build a spiritual community, our communities have to be founded on firm spiritual principles. So the three things that Sudama asked for are the three principles on which any devotee community should be based. Actually, there is a verse that is spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which the original source of this is unknown, but it is very popular amongst followers of Mahaprabhu. And that verse is Jive Daya Name Ruchi Vaishnava Sevana Iha Chhada Dharma Nahi Suno Sanatana. So I'll explain the meaning of this. Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sanatana Goswami and he's saying, Suno Sanatana, O Sanatana, please listen. Jive Daya, that is compassion upon living entities. Second, Name Ruchi, having taste in the chanting of the holy names. And third, Vaishnava Sevana, serving the devotees. Iha Chara Dharma Nahi, without these three, there is no Dharma, there is no true religion or spirituality. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur often alluded to these three principles, and so do all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So we have these three principles, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which actually correspond quite closely to the three things that Sudama has asked for in the verse that I just read. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur in one song has also sung Jive Daya Krishna Nama Sarva Dharma Sar, which means that the essence of dharma is Jive Daya, that is compassion upon the fallen souls, and Krishna Naam, chanting the names of Krishna. So in the community of devotees, we will find these three principles being spoken about very often. Now, unshakable devotion, Achalam Bhakti, corresponds to Name Ruchi, that means taste in the holy name. Name Ruchi means to have a taste in the chanting of the holy names. Having a taste in chanting the holy name is not a very easy thing to attain. I'm sure we've all experienced at some point or the other some distraction of our mind when we sit down to chant our japa. Or perhaps we have seen devotees chanting japa and falling asleep. So it's not easy to focus the mind on the holy name. Actually, chanting the holy name is an easy process, but actually practically doing it requires some taste. And by sincerely striving for it, we will eventually get that taste. So, basically, what this means, this first principle of unshakable devotion or taste in the holy name, is that we should do everything possible to become more and more Krishna conscious. Essentially, it means we do everything to increase our love for Krishna. That has to be the fundamental point on which our whole movement is based. That's the goal of our life, to love Krishna. So all those acts that enhance or increase our love for Krishna would fall under this category. Especially focusing on the holy name. This includes not just sitting and chanting our japa, but also includes Nama Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names. It also includes hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, studying the Srimad Bhagavatam and similar literature. It also includes, to expand the definition, all other types of services, like for example making garlands for the deities or cooking for the deities, cleaning the temple, so therefore, our goal in the spiritual community must be that we all want to become pure devotees of Krishna. There must be complete clarity and focus on this as the ultimate goal of our life. Let's say there is a football club, because I know in Europe people are very fond of football. So let me give an example from football. So let's say there is a well-known football club or a team. Their only goal is to perform excellently and maybe get the World Cup or a gold medal or whatever it is and win the championship or something. They're very clear and focused on what they want to achieve about their goal. So they have their community of football lovers, the team and the staff and other lovers, and they all work, do everything that is necessary to achieve that goal. So similarly, in a devotee community, we must be very clear individually and collectively that becoming pure lovers of Krishna is our goal. This is why we are here. Yes, this is something we hear from day one when we come in contact with the devotees. But still, it is important to keep this in the front of our mind and not let it slide into the back of our mind. We may get carried away by the busy schedules of our life and all the activities that we are doing, and somehow or the other, this focus may get a little pushed aside for the time being. So when there is proper hearing, proper chanting, proper services done for Krishna, then this not only purifies us, it also ensures that we keep this in the focus, that we want to become lovers of Krishna. So everything we do has to be done with this understanding, with this objective. Whenever we are faced with decisions in life, and indeed we will be all the time, whether they are small decisions or big decisions, we should ask ourselves one question. Will it help me to love Krishna more? So, this is Name Ruchi, developing the taste for chanting the holy name and for other attendant devotional activities for the sake of attaining love of Krishna. It's interesting that Sudama asked Krishna for pure love. He didn't ask him for anything material. If you look at these three things he asked for, there was not a trace of anything material that he asked for. That is the difference between ordinary devotional service and pure devotional service. In pure devotional service, we will never ask Krishna for anything material. But in ordinary or mixed devotional service, devotees may ask for some material things along with their spiritual goals. So the more the focus on the purity of the goal, and lesser the contamination by asking Krishna for other things, the better and stronger will be the devotee community. So the second point is tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam, which means friendship with the devotees. Mahaprabhu says Vaishnava seva, serving the devotees. Serving the devotees means to assist them in Krishna consciousness, assist them in achieving that goal. Again, let's get back to a football analogy. The 11 members of the team have to work like a well-oiled machine that cooperate with each other seamlessly. They kick the ball and pass it around to each other till one of them finally shoots the ball into the opposition goal. So they cooperate with each other to achieve the glory, the goal, the ultimate goal, you know, which is to score the goal. So, they basically assist each other. One player kicks the ball to another player. And that player then in turn assists another player. And ultimately, moving like this, somebody, some devotee, assists another player who then shoots the ball into the goal. And the whole team wins. So just notice how each player in the team is actually assisting every other player in the team to achieve the higher goal. And as a result, everybody benefits. The whole team wins and everybody becomes glorious. And one thing you will notice in a good football team, they don't mind who scores the goal, so long as the goal is scored. They will pass the goal to whoever is in the best pass the ball to whoever is in the best position to score the goal. The person who actually scores the goal may get the glory, or he has scored so many goals and so on, but actually he can't do it unless the others are assisting him. So similarly, in a spiritual community, all the devotees assist all the other devotees in achieving the goal of becoming pure devotees of Krishna. This is real Vaishnava Seva, serving the devotees. Real service is on the spiritual platform. That doesn't mean that we ignore the body of the Vaishnava. Because that also has an important bearing on the Krishna consciousness of that devotee. Yeah, so service to the devotees means doing everything that we can to assist the other devotees to progress in Krishna consciousness. Primarily, the service is to encourage them to hear and chant, to help them chant better, hear better, etc. But it can also extend to serving the bodies of the devotees. Just as Srila Ishwar Puri was serving his spiritual master, I beg your pardon, yes, Ishwar Puri was serving his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was very old at that time and he was unable to perform even his basic bodily functions on his own. And Ishwara Puri served him menially with full devotion and sincerity. He used to also sit next to Madhavendra Puri and chant the holy names or recite some nice verses from the Bhagavatam and so on, just to give happiness to Madhavendra Puri. So in this way, service to devotees encompasses the spiritual, bodily and emotional platforms. Of course, we have to be cautious that we don't get so caught up with serving the devotees in the bodily and emotional platform that we forget the spiritual focus. And again, with regard to the football analogy, just as the football players, you know, don't mind who ultimately scores the goal, so long as the team scores the goal, similarly with devotees. So serving the devotees also means to not worry about who's going to get credit. So, in a good team or in a good community, where there is self-interest, there cannot be progress and unity and happiness and success. So to the degree that we have self-interest, to that degree the community of devotees will be compromised or hampered. What is the meaning of self-interest? It means any interest separate from the interest of Krishna. And in practical terms, what it means is negative qualities like envy, ego, desire for prestige or name or fame, desire for a certain position within the community, or hatred for someone else, and so on. These kind of negative qualities exhibit some bad self-interest. And that cannot create a favorable atmosphere in the community of devotees. So when we speak of serving the Vaishnavas, the mood has to be proper. It has to be a favorable mood of service. So any degree of self-interest that comes in the heart of the devotee who is serving will contaminate that service. Now, when Sudama Brahman asks for this, he says, Tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam, which means he wants friendship with the devotees. So how is friendship with the devotees connected to service to the devotees? Is it the same thing? It's very easy to see the connection. We cannot serve the devotees wholeheartedly unless we have a very friendly relationship with them. So this is called anukul in Sanskrit, very favorable mood. If we don't have a mood that is friendly, favorable to the devotees, how can we serve them? the word that Sudama uses is Sauharda, which means friendship. The word Sauharda comes from Su-Rid. Su means good and Rid means heart. Which means I think Thrai Prabhu, you wanted to say something but you were muted, so yes. Yes, which means to be a genuine well-wisher of another person. That's why Srila Prabhupada used to sign off his letters to his disciples and devotees by saying, "Your ever well-wisher." In his lectures, Srila Prabhupada often speaks about varieties of friendship. You know, there is friendship amongst nations in international relationships. And for those of you who are aware of what's happening in the world and all that, you know that relations between countries are based on self-interest. So long as a self-interest is served, the two countries are friendly. If not, there is enmity, perhaps even war between the countries. So Srila Prabhupada says there may be other kinds of friendship which may be official or formal. That's not the kind of friendship that is being spoken about here. So Srila Prabhupada says amongst all the varieties of friendship, Suhrid is the best friend, is the best type of friendship. Because genuine friendship means to be a genuine well-wisher of that person, come what may. Actually, only a pure devotee of Krishna can be that. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, that he is the ever well-wisher of all living entities. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev says that a pure devotee is Suhridam Sarvadehinam, that he is the well-wisher of all living entities. So what Sudama is asking for is that he can become a genuine servant and well-wisher of all the devotees. So a genuine well-wisher will never seek that any harm should come to another devotee or another person. So in a devotee community, when the devotees genuinely strive to be suhrid for each other, genuine well-wishers of each other, then a strong bond and a community gets built. Where the self-interest comes in the picture, then that becomes contaminated. To that degree, the community becomes weak. And that weakness will be exploited by Maya. To create further problems. So when the devotees actually wish well for each other and mingle with each other, then what should they be doing? When people in the outside world are friends with each other, they do things that they like. They go to the cinema, or they go to, you know, the restaurant, or they go to a football match or something. That's what they do together. So what do the devotees do? So in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami has given us the six symptoms of loving relationships amongst the devotees. Yeah, dadati pratigrinati guhyam akhyati prichyati bhunkte bhojayate chaiva shadvitha priti lakshanam. So the six symptoms of love amongst the devotees are as follows. To give and to receive gifts. To exchange confidences. Guhya makhyati prachyati. And to make the other person happy and be made happy in return. I mean, that's how the relationship goes. What does it mean in practical terms? It means that one strives to give the precious gift of Krishna consciousness to the other devotees in one way, shape or form. And the other devotees will also give us so many gifts. The greatest gift is Krishna consciousness. When we speak of exchanging confidential topics, Prabhupada explains that the experienced devotee will speak on Krishna conscious topics to the inexperienced devotees. Devotees may also reveal their hearts and their difficulties to other devotees in confidence and trust, and thus solve their problems. And finally, they enjoy life taking prasadam together, chanting the holy names together, etc. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that ISKCON has been established to facilitate these six types of loving exchanges. And he says that the life of the Krishna, of a Krishna conscious society, is nourished by these six types of loving exchanges. So in this way, our spiritual community can become strong when we have the six types of loving exchanges happening there in a proper way. And finally, the third point, which is transcendental compassion for all living entities. So bhuteshu cha dayam param. This is what Sudama says, and what Mahaprabhu says is jive daya, compassion upon the living entities. Yeah, so what does this mean? Actually, by following the first two, of course we are also doing this, undoubtedly. So amongst the devotees, we have compassion on each other by assisting each other and learning from each other and serving the more advanced devotees. So this is also jiva daya, undoubtedly. But we should not restrict ourselves to those who are already there in the devotee community. We must reach out into the broader society and give them the beautiful message of Krishna consciousness. So having compassion on the living entities means to reach out to them to give them this precious gift. When this spirit, this zeal is very strong to go out and give the message to the world, then the spiritual community will become very vibrant, energetic, and dynamic. Otherwise, we will stagnate. Otherwise, we will stagnate. We will just stay where we are. So, outreach brings in a certain energy and a certain enthusiasm that enlivens everybody. And we become instruments in the hands of Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara to take this message to everybody, and that gives us a lot of happiness. So we do this by celebrating all sorts of festivals, including the Rath Yatra festival, Janmashtami, and so on. We have lectures and classes for various kinds of audiences. We go out in the streets chanting the holy names. We distribute books to everybody, everywhere, all around. So this kind of a zeal for reaching out to everybody is very essential to keep the spiritual community dynamic and fresh. And gradually more and more new people start joining the community, and that gives greater strength to the community. So this has to be a constant process. So these are the three things that are the founding pillars, foundational pillars of a spiritual community. So essentially, developing taste in the holy names, or becoming resolute in devotion. Secondly, serving the devotees in a mood of friendship. And having compassion on living entities by reaching out and giving Krishna consciousness to everybody. So Sudama's benedictions are very valuable for us. So we can also pray to Krishna that he may bless us individually and collectively with these three benedictions that Sudama has asked for. Then our spiritual community will grow, prosper, and flourish. And this has been made possible in the modern times by Srila Prabhupada, who wrote exactly these three things. Thank you very much. Grazie. Yeah, sure. Yes.
In your time today, Tanya Yatra.
Hare Krishna.
Vuoi tradurre la domanda?
Grazie Maharaj per aver dato il tuo tempo per lo Yatra italiano, per la comunità italiana. So my question is that without having a family or business attachments in a particular place, which is the most important factor on choosing the spiritual community or temple where offer our devotional service?
Per tradurla?
La traduzione è senza avere attaccamenti familiari o di lavoro in un posto particolare, qual è il fattore più importante nel scegliere una comunità spirituale dove offrire il proprio servizio devozionale?
You may have to summarize it again. I didn't quite get the second part. Can you say it again, please?
Okay. So, without having a family or business attachments, which is the most important factor on choosing the spiritual community or temple where offer our devotional service?
I see.
Where
okay.
To decide to live.
Okay, can you all hear me now? You can hear me, right? Okay. So your question is, how does one decide which spiritual community one should link up with? Am I right? Yes. Well, essentially, wherever you feel inspired and happy in your Krishna consciousness. And where you find proper guidance to advance in your spiritual life. Where you find some nice shelter to continue your Krishna consciousness. And that might mean making some adjustments in your life, but for that you'll have to talk to some, you know, discuss it with devotees who understand your situation and guide you accordingly. See? Okay. Okay.
question for you about sometimes to help, in order to help others, we need to have a profound, a deep knowledge of ourselves to be able to help others emotionally and psychologically, and also obviously to have a strong spiritual foundation. How can we build and grow ourselves? How can we, in order to help others in an appropriate manner? Are there certain steps to follow? If so, what steps? Would you follow that?
Yes, thank you. Well, you're right that we can't help others until we help ourselves. We have to first and foremost ensure that we are spiritually doing well. Can you hear me now? Now, can you hear me? Okay. So, I was saying that it is true that now one cannot help others without helping oneself first. You know, when you travel in an airplane and the stewards will, cabin crew will give us a lot of instructions, right, in the beginning? And one of the instructions is about how to use the oxygen mask in case of need. And they say that if there is a child with you, first put the oxygen mask on yourself and then you put it on the child. And the logic is simple. If you pass out first, then how can you give oxygen to the child? If you're in good shape, then you can help your child give oxygen and so on. So we have to be in good shape spiritually in order to be able to help others. That's correct. That's the first and most important point. At the same time, helping others in their Krishna consciousness, helping devotees, serving them in some way, is also an important way of becoming strong ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is very pleased when we become the servant of all the devotees. When Krishna sees the spirit of service, then automatically he gives us his mercy, which makes us Krishna conscious. So we should do both these activities together. It can't be one only at the expense of the other. And you mentioned something about psychological and emotional issues. Many times what people need, including devotees, is just some, empathetic friendship. they need to be assured that you are genuinely their well-wisher and you offer them some heartfelt words of support. That often goes a long way in reducing the anxieties of the other person, the other devotees. So this works, and sometimes we may offer some good advice based on our good intelligence and also based on what we've understood of Krishna consciousness and of life. So we should be careful at the same time. We should not give advice that goes that ultimately is, shall we say, opposed to Krishna conscious principles. And we should also recognize our own limitations in helping others beyond a point. There may be occasions where some other more capable devotees may need to enter into the picture to help. And sometimes it may be necessary to just have some professional help required, which even some devotees perhaps may not be able to give. So this is something that we have to judge and see. So I hope I have answered the question. Okay, thank you. So your question is that in the lecture I gave an analogy of a football team with a community and said everybody works together, but at the same time everybody has different natures and abilities and they work differently. How does that relate to a devotee community? And also in a team there is a coach and so on. Again, how does that relate to the devotee community? Well, yes, you're quite right when you Oh, sorry, yes. So in a team, depending on the abilities of the players or they are in different positions. So someone is a goalkeeper, someone is a fullback. Or someone is a forward or you know whatever, I don't know what other things you call it, but so similarly, in a devotee community, you know, someone is a pujari, someone is, doing the management in the project. Someone is doing something else, you know, making garlands for the deities. Someone is, so everyone is engaged in different activities. But the players have to be willing to do whatever is required on the field, ultimately. So similarly, in a devotee community as well, even though different devotees will be doing different services according to what they've been asked to do and so on, they must also be prepared to do anything that is required for Krishna's pleasure. And also, yes, there is a captain of the team, so there will be some leader. And the coach, meaning that there are others who have very experienced in this and they have done that and they are guiding and helping others. So in a devotee community, we have senior devotees, you know, who will help, other devotees who are newer, guide them properly, instruct them, inspire them. So, for example, here in this nice community you have Thraya Prabhu and his good wife there, Mataji, they're doing so much nice service for decades and decades. They have been serving, so acting like your coach, like a captain combined. So, and in the other devotees, you're all doing different services and assisting them, and you know, so this is how the community goes. Okay, so I hope I have answered that question. Yes. Yes. Hare Krishna. Ok, grazie. So, your question essentially is that we are not very advanced devotees, so we don't have the kind of qualities that are required to ideally build a community that is very, very strong, because we have our own internal obstacles. So, what should one do in this situation? That is your question. Well, you see, we have to start somewhere. And it is not expected that we are going to be ideal devotees when we start. Perfection is an ideal we strive for. Because we are not there at this point, it doesn't mean that we should not strive for it. So, even if we don't have certain qualities, like you mentioned, kindness, that it may not come naturally, but still we can try to be kind. We should make an effort to do that. We can't say that, well, I don't feel like being kind, it doesn't come naturally, so I'll just be not kind. Part of the process of Krishna consciousness is that we try to develop those qualities even by extraneous effort, apart from just chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, the time doesn't permit us to discuss it, but Bhagavatam says that a devotee automatically in course of time develops all the good qualities. So we should just continue practicing our devotional service. And that includes also striving and practicing these qualities which we may think we lack. Okay. Okay, so the question is, one member of the group or a community acts in a way that causes a disturbance to others, and how can one be compassionate to that devotee or that member? Not an easy question to answer. Because there is often a clash between being compassionate to one devotee and being compassionate to the rest. So that requires a lot of Krishna conscious maturity to handle such situations, to see that this devotee is handled properly, and at the same time it doesn't cause any harm or injustice to the other devotees. It also depends on what kind of disturbance one member of the community is doing, actually. How serious is it? What is the nature of that? For example, in one place, I remember there was a member who had some psychological problems. And it caused an enormous difficulty to the other devotees. And he had a problem. I mean, it was a medical problem. So some devotees said, "No, you should be kind, you should accept him." Other devotees said, "How, you know, we can't tolerate it, you know." So it was very difficult to balance it all out. So essentially, wherever any professional help is required, we can try to take that, because they know how to deal with situations. But if it's not something of that sort, then we should try to just use our sincere efforts to try to help this particular devotee, and at the same time see that other devotees are not harmed as well. So even in a small family, you have different natures. Everybody has a different nature. So in a large family of a community, there's going to be problems. Different natures, everybody has, can't expect an ideal situation in this world. But the more Krishna conscious we are individually and collectively, the more better we can handle these sort of situations. So to conclude, the answer would be, number one, we have to be more Krishna conscious. And number two, we must learn some skills, whether they're interpersonal skills or the human relation skills or whatever it may be, to be able to deal with these situations. Okay. Okay, very nice. I would suggest your question is whether you should read Bhagavad Gita first or Srimad Bhagavatam. I usually recommend to devotees that they should read Srila Prabhupada's small books first, you know, the small ones. Even before you come to Bhagavad Gita as it is. Then you read Bhagavad Gita, then you come to Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Okay. So, okay, grazie for your question. It is very eloquently framed. Maybe you should do some writing. I'll repeat the question in brief. I'm doing this because it's also going on another Facebook, which is being separately recording here. So I'll summarize your question, which is that on one hand, we are told that we should build close bonds with devotees. On the other hand, we are also told we should not become over-familiar. So where does one draw that line? And when one tries to strike the balance, one may be misunderstood for being on either side of that dividing line. So, I think that we should just be sincere and use our good judgment and interact with devotees in this way. We should certainly be careful about Vaishnava Aparad, undoubtedly. But let that not come in the way of you developing close relationships with devotees. If one is sincere and intelligent, then even if one oversteps the line in terms of familiarity a little bit, one can always, shall we say, rectify that. It's easy to do that. It's better to do this than to be forever scared and apprehensive and lose out on that nice warm relationships with the other devotees. So try to avoid, try to use your judgment to see that you don't overstep the line, but it's still better to do it than to avoid. I hope that answers the question. Okay, fine. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Thraya Prabhu, for your kind words and for your invitation. I will be happy to be at your service in the service of all the devotees.